Let us read from God's holy word from the second book of the Kings, part of chapter 6. The second book of the Kings, chapter 6, and we'll read the first 7 verses. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. This is a very sacred and a blessed word, really, where the dear prophet and the people that were there building in Jordan were to prove those things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, there are just a few things I would name. First of all, look how diligent they were in all seeking to take a beam and to go to Jordan. They got to carry it there. And you know, there are those beams that the Lord's people have to carry. And of course, these beams would not be heavy, would not be light, they would be heavy, and they needed to carry them. And there may be those of you tonight that have got various beams to carry. And they went down there. And the second thing I would name is this, that how willing we read, and one said, Be content, I pray thee. Now, so often we're discontent, aren't we? But oh, may the Lord grant to us that gracious contentment with the beams that he may lay upon us that we have to carry. It's easy to complain when we're under burdens and heavy loads, isn't it? But oh, here, that's a wonderful word. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. Look how willing Ruth was to go with Naomi back to Bethlehem, Judah. And we see here the answer, and he answered, I will go. We sing in the hymn, don't we? I'll go, for all his paths are peace. When the message was put and the question to Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? What did she say? I will go. And oh, may the Lord make us each willing to go with his dear people. And as Ruth did with Naomi. But then, as they were in Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now that must have been a great concern to him. It wasn't his, it was borrowed. But it came to me very searchingly. What a solemn thing it is if we've only got a borrowed religion. This axe was not this man's. He borrowed it. And it seemed to so rest upon me today how solemn it is if we've only got a borrowed religion. You know, I often tremble when I think back nearly 50 years in my early days of the ministry. One of our chapels, there was a young lady came forward and applied to join the church, and the deacons and pastor heard her and received her testimony. But then the church meeting was called and she was to go before them to speak of what she had told the deacons and what the Lord had done. But she contacted the pastor and said, all I told you was borrowed. I'm not coming to the church meeting. You think how solemn. You know, I often think back at that. It's very searching, really, just to have things that are borrowed. I remember once in Cornwall, sitting under a minister of the General Baptists, and there was not a service at Curly Down Chapel, and we went to Penzance, and the man there, it was all as he preached, he said, he was honest in this sense, that all he said was what so-and-so had said or somebody else had said about the text that he got. It was nothing what the Lord had taught him. And I thought when I came out, what a solemn thing to have a ministry that is just borrowed. I know there are times when I will say that this man or that man said this and that, but I would not use it as the backbone of the ministry. The Word of God tells us the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. He must know it in his own experience. And then we find here the concern as this was borrowed, this axe, and the head had fallen into the water. But then we see how wonderfully the Lord worked. And this is really what drew me to this word. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. You know, what does that stick represent? It represents none other than the Lord Jesus himself. If you go to the 15th chapter of Exodus, when the Lord delivered the children of Israel from the Red Sea, and then as they went on their wilderness journey, they came to Marah. And the waters there, as they were thirsty, were bitter, weren't they? Well, no man, not even Moses, with all the grace and help and wisdom he was given from heaven, could make those waters sweet. But what did the Lord tell him to do? To cut down a tree and to cast it into the waters. Just as Elisha did here with this stick, and cast it into the water. What effect did that have on the waters of Marah? It made the waters of Marah sweet. What effect did it have here? It caused the iron to swim. And what does it represent? None other than the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Calvary's tree. You know, if we got the presence of the dear Redeemer with us in some of the bitter things you may have to walk through. The hymn writer said, though painful at present. You think of those bitter waters of Marah. They were made sweet by that tree being cast into the water. What a make the bitter afflictions that the children of God walk through sweet. Or the trials or troubles of providence or in their souls. It'll be a sweet glimpse of the dear Redeemer at Calvary and his sweet and sacred presence with the sinner. In that bitter path. And we see here the iron swam. And when the Lord comes, he will cause those promises that the Lord may have given you to, as it were, to rise in your soul and in your mind, and they have all brought back with sweetness and reality, and they, as it were, swim and you can see them. Whereas it may have been in the moments before, the hours before, you could not see your way, you could not see your evidences, you could not see which path to take. But now, the iron is swimming. And what a wonderful thing this was to this man. And what do we read? Therefore he said, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. That is a sweet word, really, isn't it? May the Lord favour us. Take it up to thee. That's what faith will do. As the Lord reveals the promises, reveals the tokens that you may have had years before, and he brings them back with renewed savour, renewed blessing, and faith takes them. And we read, don't we? And he put out his hand and took it. And that's what faith will do in your poor heart and mine. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Faith believes it. Hope expects it. And this iron did swim. And oh, they saw there the wonders, didn't they? God alone could do. And may we in this dark and solemn day sweetly experience the same. The bitter being made sweet. We hope to sing later, although my cup seems filled with gall, And maybe those of you who've got things, and there's nothing more bitter, you know, than gall. Filled with gall, yet something secret sweetens all. And that something secret is the sweet presence of the dear Redeemer with you in that bitter path. And then too, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Well, may the Lord bless this sacred word to us, and may we know what it is to see the hand of the Lord working, whether it be in our providential pathway, in our souls, in our families, and may it be so among us as a church, and that there may be seen the wonders that he alone can do. Well, may the Lord bless the word.